Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock on the Free Talk Live Network. Now, in this third hour, we're going to put in as much of the conversation as we can squeeze in between me and Dr. Frank Tamburi that we've been having every week for 8 years. And it's politics, culture, fake news, and a lot of things that are of interest to he and I that we do every week. Now, you can get the full conversation at DeclareYourIndependenceWithErnestHancock.com, or you go to Freedoms Phoenix. Freedom with an S, Phoenix, Phoenix.com, spelled out. And in the top right on the front page, you'll see access to Declare Your Independence radio show. Now, you go in there and you'll see Dr. Frank Tamburi and I, and there's going to be at least a couple hours more of this conversation when we end in this hour. But you get the gist of what we talk about and what we do, and I wanted to share it with you. So where we're picking it up, there was a professor that teaching Marxism as an academic, not in support of it. You know, he was teaching it as part of their political science and so on. Well, of course, he wasn't in support of it enough that they canceled him. And he filed suit and won. And then where we're picking it up from is he was lobbying to be the new head of the Mises Institute, which is, you know, kind of just like Ron Paul, you know, libertarianism. And there was an opportunity for me to take that right when I had left visiting my nephews, three nephews, freshmen in high school and two in college, and then love them to death, you know, my brother and sister-in-law, but they're in New York City, you know. So what I had done, we talked a lot about what was happening socially and such, and then, of course, they get old Uncle Ernie's opinion. And when I went to visit with Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope and Autonomy, he is very well read, does great show, Grand Theft World, and talks about a lot of these things. And he had a standalone interview with a gentleman that was this professor that was fired, and then he wanted to take on the newly vacant position at the Mises Institute, and that would give him the influence to do whatever work he think needed to be done. Well, that conversation was a really good example of what is being done and why and how. This Marxism, that, you know, this canceling culture, we've been warned of this as a mechanism, as a method by which the communists and socialists and China and Russia take over societies and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But the point was, it was a really good education for my nephews. So what I did is do I just send it straight to them, or do I include the parents? Well, that's where we left off, and we'll talk about it. Well, he had an axe to grind because of how he was treated for telling the truth. So I sent it to my sister-in-law and said, look, you know, these guys are young. One of them's in high school. And, you know, I would just send it because they were asking about this. And, you know, Papa Ernie, Uncle Ernie, you're just, you know, freaking old fuddy-duddy, didn't know what's up. And I'm going, look, there is a reason for how and why they're doing this. This is a mechanism. We've had KGB guys, you know, defect America, say, let me tell you what we're doing. You know, I'll tell you exactly how this happened. I'll tell you what the Marxist ideology is and the methods by which we take over and disintegrate a country and the yada, 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 yada. And this guy taught it in university, got fired for it, then wins, you know, a lawsuit against the university. So I go, if you want to know the history of how this is being used and what's done, here it is. But I send it to my sister-in-law. I will leave it up to you to send to your freshman in high school son. Even though, Uncle Ernie, I can, you know, we talked about this stuff, and I can send, and it's powerful stuff. It'll definitely change or do some cognitive dissonance on them. But as a parent, because she was supportive of, you know, the left and the ESG, DEI, whatever stuff, and because she's in the publishing, she's in media. She runs the website for a major influencer in the media in New York City. So, but I think she's smart enough to see what's going on. She experiences it. But she also knows one wrong word, one wrong thing said, boom, she loses her job. And she's got, you know, three guys need to get through college kind of thing. Now, her husband, I just talked to her this morning, you know, her husband is, you know, whippy-dippy in finance in New York, whatever. They do fine, but of course you always live up to, you know, your lifestyle lives up to how much you can finance kind of crap. So, you know, they want their jobs. I remember years ago, I found out he was paying $2,600 a month in property taxes. And he has like a, you know, a nothing size McMansion on this 80 postage stamp, you know, house lot. And I'm like, whoa, damn. So this is important to them to make it through this stage of their life. And I think finances and their dependence on their job in New York City without, so that's going to determine a lot of what you say and don't say, and sure as heck what you relay to your children to justify what it is you do for a living kind of thing.
So it's interesting. There was, you know, the Young Turks. We don't talk about them much, but, you know, they're a left-wing funded media, so-called media group, propaganda group. You guys know about, you know,
Jim Hughes. Where Dave Rubin came from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a few people, actually. But anyway, but Anna Kaspara, who is, you know, the very loud, opinionated lady on that show, but she has been under attack recently about talking about complaining that lefties are calling women birthing machines or something. You know, she's getting offended by some of the words being used. Also, the hypervigilance on words about calling everyone a racist for having an opinion. Things that, of course, we've been, you know, most of us in the audience dealing with for quite a long time. But what's fascinating is that Frankenstein's monsters come back to haunt him. You know, and to her credit, she's standing up for this sort of this. Now, it's amusing for us to watch, but as predicted, you know, if it's kind of like that old poem, you know, that they attacked one group and I didn't say anything, and then they went after another group and I didn't say anything, and then they came after me, and there's no one left to defend, right? Obviously, that was from World War II, and you guys know the poem. But we all predicted this. You know, you're going to first blame conservatives and right-wingers, but then pretty soon it's going to be, you're going to blame, you know, then you blame men. And then pretty soon it's going to be women, and then white women, and then it's going to be, you know, then of course the you blame the Chinese, or you start blame, everyone's to blame. Eventually, if you go down that path, it's going to come around to you.
Yep.
And it's happening now. Right before this election, the people on the left are having to make a choice and figure out, you know, is this really worth it? Is Donald Trump or whatever?
The brown shirt got
pumped up charges.
Sought after
so
first.
Bad? Is it so evil that we need to continue destroying, you know, the fabric of things, or continue to put experimental drugs in my body, you know, in order to spite so no one calls me a right winger, God forbid? I mean, how far are you going to go to supposedly make a point to save democracy, as the media keeps saying? And at what point do you look in the mirror and say that maybe you're the problem with the democracy? So, anyway, it's a deeper problem there.
I want to go over some of the the news on Freedom's Phoenix, because there's so much good stuff that I want to get.
Yeah, can I start off with a news story before we get off?
Of course you can.
I want to bring one up. It's Israel. I always like to bring some foreign events, current events. So Israel just had a revolution in a way. With their Supreme Court. Did you hear about this, Ernie?
Yeah, there are some judicial changes that they were doing. The people were protesting by the gazillions in the street, and then they did it anyway, and I don't even know what the real issue was. What's up?
So, kind of more of a quick version of this is that they, first of all, it's a new country, right? I mean, Israel was founded in, what, 1948, was it?
Yeah, 48,
right. So, I mean, that's since they're a new country. I mean, they're still figuring things out. I mean, our own country went through a few different iterations as it went. But the country has their Congress. Now, they don't have a House and Senate. It's one unified Congress called with the Senate, right? The Knesset. So it's called the Knesset. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it properly, guys. And that's their Congress. And everyone in there is voted on by popular vote. So it's sort of our House of Representatives, Senator, all kind of put together. So they do have a say. The people have a say.
Well,
yeah, forgetting about voter irregularity.
That body votes for, I think, their prime minister or their head of state is voted by the Knesset. And it's not, they're not
exactly
voted for, I think.
Exactly. So if you say the executive branch, if that's their prime minister, yes. So it's from the Knesset itself. But the Knesset is, in theory, it's all voted on by the people. But there has been an issue in that the Congress has been transformed for quite some time to be more nationalist, pro-Israel, whereas the globalists that were part of their Congress have been eventually kind of kicked out, right? So they've been flooded out. However, when it came to the vaccine issue and other issues of Israel, what keeps stymieing, apparently, the conservative let's just assume that the wish of the people of being conservative is that they have a globalist Supreme Court in Israel. And that's what the fight has been over. And why? It's because the Supreme Court in Israel, according to their constitution, is not voted on by the people. It is, it's handed down from each other. So in other words, with Ruth Ginsburg, before she passed away, she could, in Israel, name her successor. So the Supreme Court justices name who's going to follow them. And you could just automatically understand how that's a problem. And they're the highest level. So this is what happened. So in Israel, the Knesset got enough votes to say, we're going to change the Constitution to allow the Supreme Court to, I guess they vote them in or whatever the change is. But the leftists, and especially the leftist media in our country, was going ballistic. They're talking about how, you know, the racists and the bigots and the Trump people and everyone have ruined Israel. And Israel's trying to self-destruct their own government and ruin their entire, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they're having a hissy fit. But keep in mind, what happens when Israel is not part of the globalist agenda anymore? Especially with all the Middle Eastern policies and the economies that are starting to change and the petrodollar that's all about the Middle East. And that's a whole loaded topic, but I wanted to just bring that up about something the media is either not talking about or they're spinning as something bad. But it's interesting when you understand the underneath about why that argument has occurred. So we'll see. We could see some real changes in Israel as a country going forward.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it. Let's see if I got the spelling here. It is K-E-N-E-S-I-T, Knesset. I think that's how you say it. And it's, I probably should know more. We've had a lot of stories on it about Freedom's Phoenix. I haven't, really delved into it because you know, I don't care. But the it is interesting, you know, to find out, you know, what the end result. I've learned more from you in the past 30 seconds than, you know, I freaking found out in all the stories that we put up. But it's the Netanyahu's judicial overhaul. Now, this is Israel Knesset passed his first bill. This was 7/24. So this is just this is recently, the last few days. So let me go ahead and just read the first paragraph so we know what we're talking about. Israel's parliament on Monday passed a Netanyahu coalition's controversial bill that will significantly limit the Supreme Court's ability to review government decisions, despite mass protests and pressure from the Biden administration to not rush the vote. So the Supreme Court review government's decision, is that by somebody suing and taking it to them, or just the Supreme Court, I don't like it? You know, is there some instigation by a lawsuit, or they're just, we rule because we're a Supreme Court? I don't know why it matters. It's the first piece of legislation that is part of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's judicial overhaul, a plan that has destabilized Israel's economy, military, and foreign relations. Now, of course, they're going to say, you know, if they're in opposition to it and how bad it is and what it does and whatever. But keep in mind, Netanyahu was indicted, attacked, gone after, and left unwillingly being prime minister a decade ago or something, because he used to be prime minister and then he wasn't under a cloud of corruption of whatever the hell. So when he gets back in there, you know, who was his opposition? What, you know, attacked him? Why? It'd be like, you know, Trump getting back in going, oh, let me tell you what's happening now, okay? So this is the kind of thing that they fear Trump doing, he gets back in. You go after the deep state, now he would consider, you know, the, we don't like what your the people's body did, so we're going to veto it. We're the Supreme Court. So then, if it's popular enough, and done like it seemed, the people elected the Knesset to do what. See, that's why I don't care. I don't trust elections. I don't trust. They wouldn't do election fraud to be in charge of trillions of dollars, you know, because that would be wrong. I mean, hell, that's why they do it, you know. So I am just, it's just. What's going to matter is how this affects people access to food. Sooner or later, this is going to turn into a food thing. It always does. To a, you know, who's in control of my family, which means who's in charge of my children. You know, who steps into the middle of my relationship with my wife. And this mindset started even before I got politically active. It really had, and I wrote an article about it, God, in the 90s, late 90s, I think it was. And it was called My Menage Trois with Uncle Sam, okay? And the reason I titled it that way, you watch the movie Braveheart, I will bless this marriage, prima nocte, first night. I will bless this marriage by taking the bride into my bedchamber and doing her, and then her husband can have her after I get done with her, okay? And I go, oh, get the right kind of nobles to take over then, you know? So this was a thing that you had this relationship with the crown before you could even have relations with your wife. What kind of crap was that? Well, they do the same thing now. My wife and I got married in 84, I think. So we've been married 38 years or more. I mean, damn. Oh, wait a minute. What's this? Whoa. It's my anniversary in a couple of weeks. You don't want to miss that. That'd suck. Anyway, so you have a wedding, and you get up, and we got married. Donna was Catholic, you know. Now she's not, but, you know, Catholic. We went through the Catholic thing, and I had to go to these classes and do, you know, make her family happy, and we, you know, whatever. So we go in, and they had the ceremony practice, and the priest does, and whatever. Okay, fine, cool, whatever. Just tell me where to sign. So, you know, I'm 23, she's 22, you know, we're, you know, doing what we're supposed to do. We're married on the campus of Penn State University. I had a chapel there. She went there. She lived in Penn State. You know, mother worked there and so on. So, you know, it was a nice place. We go in the day of the wedding. Then he says at the end, that he didn't say in any of the practice or rehearsal sessions or anything, by the power of the state of Pennsylvania. Now, what the crap was that? I went through all of this ceremony and this church stuff I had to do, the Catholic this, and going through all of this pomp and circumstance of everything. And then you're saying by the power of the government? I mean, that just really rubbed me the wrong way. So then you gotta sign the document. You ain't really married until you sign the license of whatever in the state of Pennsylvania. Then immediately we have our honeymoon, traveling back where we get to Arizona. Now that we live in Arizona, your marriage is different. You know, whatever contract that you did, you had a relationship with the government over there, now it's a different one. You got a prima nocta, you got to sleep with the Uncle Sam of Arizona now, you know? And I'm going, what the crap? Then they came up with, in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, what they called a covenant marriage. Now, it made it more difficult to get divorced. You didn't have this no-fault thing. You had to go to court. Did you have a covenant marriage? Now, you can convert your regular marriage into a covenant marriage, and then they're on the radio, and this is what they said. Yeah, you can convert to a covenant marriage, make it you're more married, and be sure to bring your Social Security card. I'm like, what the crap? These people, the mindset of this. So I can see a lot of my freedom-oriented people, they record the births of their children in a family Bible. They do a home birth. Screw you, because that's legal. I'm serving up my kid to the state. They get married in the family Bible. And these are atheist libertarians. They're using the family Bible because they do not want, they'd rather have it in a Bible than with the state. So I'm going, okay, there's that. So I wrote the article, my prima nocte with Uncle Sam, or it was my menage a trois with Uncle Sam or something like that, because what was the point I was making is that for me and my wife and my life to enter in the most important, long-term, impactful contract of my life, I first got to sleep with Uncle Sam, or the government. It comes into the bed with me. And I'm like, what kind of crap? It's that mentality. It's that mindset that we have to abandon. The government, is there to protect my individual right of entering into such a contract with the witnesses of my friends and family and whatever happens to assets after and how we file our marriage or that contract with the county recorder or something. I mean, that's the only role they should have. And the reason there were these marriage contracts was after the Civil War. The slaves got free. Well, if we don't have a say of who's going to get married to whom, you could have white women marrying black slaves. Well, can't have that. You got to have permission. So I'm just going, now, the government would, force you to, So this is why with issues like abortion, I'm a pro-life individual. I'm not going to have a law saying you can or can't, because the deal is once you give the government jurisdiction over the womb, Uncle Sam's filthy, stinking fist is up inside the womb of your wife, your mother, your daughters, your sisters, your children. Then they can force abortion. China. Prevent. Force. It's all about the force. Our mindset is that we need to have some kind of law that's going to force people to behave the way we think they should be forced.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
U.S.
USA News update. Americans will only be able to buy LED lights from retailers as a Biden administration ban on incandescent light bulbs starts Tuesday.
The Department of Energy said LED lights provide more light using less energy and last a lot longer than incandescent light bulbs. Any manufacturer who violates the ban may face a maximum penalty of $542 per illegal light bulb. I'm Brian Shook.
Police are investigating rapper Cardi B for battery after she threw a microphone at an audience member who threw a drink on her. It's according to a Las Vegas Metro Police Department statement to the New York Post. Videos from the event show the 30-year-old rapper throwing the mic toward the audience after a person splashes liquid from a cup at her. And TMZ reports Cardi B allegedly told the crowd to cool the singer down with water in the hot weather. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network. And now for the final segment of our conversation with Dr. Frank Tamburi from Scottsdale, Arizona. It's been my pleasure to introduce you to our conversations that we've been having every week for 8 years. If you want to hear the rest of the conversation, which goes on more hours, you go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedom with an S, Phoenix, P-H-O-E-N-I-X.com. In the top right, you'll see the link to the Declare Your Independence show with me, Ernest Hancock, and you'll find it there. Thanks for listening.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Turn that down all the way. Shoot me like a rocket in the space.
Put it in what you can and can't do, there's always going to be a new guy coming in and say, yeah, well, I want you to can't and have to something else. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? And as long as you let people do whatever it is they want, as long as they're not violating the individual rights of another person or violating their pursuit of happiness or getting in their way of doing what they want to do, as long as they're not harming somebody else or violating their rights, that's the only role of government that I want. And sometimes you might need that in one form or another. So I am in whatever community that you set. So I'm all this stuff of these old men that are standing there freaking, you know, stroking out at the podium trying to tell me how to live my life. You know, I'm going, God, are you seriously? So when you get someone like Trump comes in and he started ratcheting back a bunch of government, he wasn't doing it fast or hard enough for me. I mean, there was, we could go on about a lot of stuff that he did do, but I can get a longer list of all the stuff he didn't do. And I'm just, if he gets in there again, you know, you going to do it? You going to do it? You going to do it? And he's going to get bogged down just like Netanyahu is on this stuff of how they're going to start changing the deep state infiltration into how they're going to try and rule us. And I'm going, okay, well, if that battle needs to be fought, it better be on a principle, not just, you know, finger in the wind kind of thing. It needs to be based on a fundamental basic principle of the proper role of government, that the only person in my lifetime that gave good, consistent, lived it that way was Ron Paul. And why this old guy in 70-whatever years old had these young people going, what he said. Spontaneous order across, and it scared the living crap out of they, them, those. Because it demonstrated that the people can rise up whenever they really want to, and you build up the pressure, and they have the internet or information or the ability. Because I remember it was fax trees. We would do printing. We had our own printing press. We would put up signs. We'd run for office. Then the internet came, and what's the first thing they want to do? Control it. You get canceled. You're not allowed to say that. You get prosecuted. You're going to jail. You showed up January 6th. Hunter Biden gets away with freaking everything, and they're not raiding him. And then, you know, like Stuart Rhodes, the oathkeeper, doesn't even go into the Capitol. They give him 18 years. You know, I just think that the balance here is so off, but it always finds an equilibrium. It always does. Throughout my life, it always has. But the problem is they use force. They use incarceration. They use we major. We're in charge now, so we're going to go this other way. And they never give up their power. They'll take that power that the previous administration got and then beat over the head their enemies on whatever the hell it is they want to do. You know, where is the dismantling? That was kind of what Reagan was all about. And what did they saddle him with? George Bush. You know, so it's just, I don't believe politics to be the answer. It may be the soapbox. It may be, you know, a manifestation of these kinds of things will happen. But if you want real change, it's going to be local. It's going to be in your community. It's going to be at your municipality. It's going to be in your valley, your neck of the woods, as far as you can see. And if it's over the horizon, what do you care? You know, I let the, you know, crazy people over there do whatever. You know, you don't conquer. The reason you never conquer Afghanistan is because they don't have a national soccer team. There is no, you know, Afghanistan proper. They don't care. It's, you know, it's the villagers of this one valley of this is ours and not yours. You know, oh, you think it's yours? Oh, your Hind helicopter, Soviet, whatever the hell, bring it. You know, we got rifles. So this is what we're up against. It's up against force. Somebody else imposing their will on you. And I am very encouraged by one main thought. It's taken them decades, generations, and unlimited amounts of, I can print it money, to the tune of tens of trillions of dollars to try and take over the heritage, the mindset, and the individual rights of America. They have been on a full court press for a long time, and they just can't quite do it. And the Second Amendment has a lot to do with it. Not because, you know, they got to rise up and start shooting the bastards, but because we have that mindset. Because we have the confidence, the self-confidence that we can when it gets down to it. And we're starting to realize it's getting down to it. And when everybody's going to realize we're down to it is when it becomes a food thing. Guarantee it. Here we go. All right. Into my rant. Go, Frank.
Hey, I know you have some current events. You want to go to the current events. I want to ask, I don't know where this is going to go. Do you want to discuss the Hunter Biden thing right now?
I don't care. What are you going to tell me?
Well, of course it's corrupt. Did you hear this morning about what the transcripts from the courthouse yesterday and what the administration tried to do? Did you kind of get the gist of it? They
No, all I know is that they had a deal. He went in and said not guilty, broke the deal, and then they got another deal. Somebody, you know, drag it out, and then the election's over. Nobody cares, and so they just delay. I don't care. You know, it's just the longer they can drag this out, and the stupider they can make them look, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Well, I'm not going to I won't go into the details too much, but let me just give you the quick overview, and we can get into the details if you want, or you can research it more. More, I'm sure, will come out. Pardon you guys if I get a couple of
details
longer.
The story's all over Freedom's Phoenix.
The gist is that, you know how, like, Congress, they want to give someone, their best friend, a bunch of money, millions of dollars, what do? They hide it into a rider, right? Pork. We call it pork barreling, right? So you sit there and you just
hide
something.
Or they just buy your paintings.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much apparently what just happened here, that Hunter Biden was pleading guilty to the gun charge, if I get this correct. He's got the gun charge and then the tax charge, which is really where all the corruption is at. But apparently he decided he'd agree to be guilty, I believe, for the gun charge. But hidden in the plea deal, you know, like subsection 56, blah, 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 is something very interesting, which says that part of the plea deal to the gun charge is that he will not be held liable or cannot be found in contempt or, you know, charged with anything found in the tax case. So in other words, he pleads not guilt or guilty to the gun charge just to think, okay, the judge and everyone thinks, all right, he's just admitting to that one. It's just the gun issue. But yet hidden in there is the fact that whatever is found in the rest of the trial, nothing can count and he won't be held liable and in the future as well.
Okay, this is my comment. As a libertarian, he got away with not having to pay taxes. Good on him. I don't care. Okay. You know, and the gun thing, care.
It's not just the tax issue. It's like Al Capone. You know, they got him on the tax.
Right.
So in essence, that's what they're doing here.
But they're not going to go after the real corruption. You know, selling access to his dad as VP and president.
Well, that's
China.
The question. I don't know, Ernie. Yeah, well, you're making that assumption. And look, the record of the Republicans in this country is not too stellar, right? I mean, at this point, the average normie just doesn't even care to watch this stuff because what's the answer? You know, nothing's going to happen. That's what everybody says. Nothing's Epstein, you know, I mean, that's the worst that happens. And he just commits suicide. So nothing happens, you know, whether it's Hillary or whomever. So why bother even investing your time anymore? I certainly get that. However, you know, we'll see. Is there teeth in this new Republican Congress? Is there teeth, or at least pretending to be teeth, because there's an election year coming up.
They're just negotiating.
They're
going to get paid. You know, we're going to find out, you know, all the corruption that happened, you know, Joe Biden and, you know, Hunter Biden, how much money get right, you know, right along with Epstein's client list and Pfizer's your research on their vaccine 75 years from now. I don't care. I've been waiting on JFK stuff. And then what happens? RFK Jr. is running. He goes, yeah, the CIA killed my dad. And everybody goes, yeah, we knew that. You know, like what? We needed the media to tell us? You know, everybody's going, ooh, the revelations of, oh, my God, there's evidence that they didn't. We're going, what, you think we didn't know? You know, it's just, they just delay.
I know. Look, as I was telling the audience, you know, these are the type of stories that Ernie and I used to break down into detail, but it's gotten to a point after all these years, and half of me almost agrees with Ernie, but is it worth even bringing any of these things up? Because is there even interest anymore? Tim Pool even said the same thing. He said, you know, he used to get a lot of hits with certain process political stories like this, kind of like the, you know, with the Hunter Biden stuff about what was it, the Russians, I forget their names now, during the FISA court scandal with Trump. What was the name of that company? I forget. There was that.
They're all interchangeable. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, whatever. We had that whole map. We had a whole flow chart from the Epoch Times.
I remember.
50 different things. All of that. We used to go through. At this point, is anyone even interested? I definitely know Ernest Hancock typically isn't. Usually just ticks them off. And then we go on some diatribe about how, you know, big picture and then it just doesn't matter. But I'm only bringing it up, Mr. Ernest, is because it's an election year. It's we're at a very unique point where we've got Donald Trump looking at how many indictments. Another one might come down today, which is the one saying that if Trump is actually accused of insurrection, then he's scrubbed from running for president, which is their entire tactic. And then what happens? Is there a riot over that? Does it go to the Supreme Court? I mean, it could be a constitutional crisis that we're about
they're
to
just guarantee
unfold.
This election. I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
They're
trying to disqualify him from even being there, and then they take the ability that they could just drag it out long enough that it's too late. And my thing is that the reason that it's not that I don't care, I care, but I've been doing this so long, I see the tactic. It's always delay, deny. It's too late. And, you know, at this point, why does it even matter? I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton goes on about Benghazi. This is just the way it's done. And then the media lets them get away with it. The only way that this ever changes is what you're seeing is that the people are so pissed off and it's so diversified because fortunately the United States as a federation is like the independent states have their own legislatures and their own governors and their own people closer. And you get down to the counties and the cities and a lot of them are more rural, you know. But what do you see happening? I saw stats that 35 states have a smaller population than the number of illegal aliens that have come into this country since Joe Biden's been president. I'm going, whoa.
Yeah.
Damn, that makes me pause.
Well, Ernie, so look, we're on the same page, I know, ultimately. But
I like to have Dr. Frank for just exactly this reason, that he comes and he brings this stuff up that is important to a lot of people, and you need to know, I know enough not to care, but it gives me such pleasure to say, I don't care, you know? So he gets to say all this stuff so it gets said, so I can say, I don't care.
I don't care, and I told you so. There we go.
I don't care.
As a matter of fact, Freedom's Phoenix are about to release the first Ernest Hancock doll, where you pull the string, and it's like, I don't care.
I told you so.
Yeah. I'm the first one in line for that. So, well, the thing is yes, there was a point where we cared as a country. We were unified and we followed everything. But now we're getting to the point where I think people just don't care, right? They're disconnecting. Now, in many ways, it's good for our blood pressure. I think it's also a sign that people have given up trying to persuade the other side, which is a bad sign. When you just give up, it's almost like having a relationship. When you care enough to at least argue, when you care enough to try to go to counseling, but when you get to the point where you just don't even care to even salvage it, or you're just doing your own thing, it's kind of the beginning of the end, because, you know, what happens is, of course, you disconnect. You start to double down in your own world, whatever it is.
Oh, I got
to
give a good example. And this is
world,
perfect.
Like, and in the world of the politics here, it gets even worse because, and just hear me out on this, when you've got Democrats, Republicans, to keep it simple here, and we're all on the same page, and we're all watching David Brinkley Sunday news program or Ted Koppel, you know, despite the politics, despite Operation Mockingbird and everything else we can go all day on, at the end of the day, you've got both sides and they're at least somewhat in check, right? I mean, even before Fox News, you know, everyone is watching each other. But once you start having your own, you've got Fox News versus CNN. And yeah, I know most of us aren't even watching Fox. But when you start separating out, then at least a lot of us were still watching the other side. We were still following the same news story. So when Fox News first came on, you know, whatever the news story of the day was, both, you know, the conservative, liberal, whatever viewpoints were at least discussing the same news story. And slowly they start getting more and more of their own spin. But we're at a point now where not only are we having our complete different spins on things, we're covering completely different stories. I mean, the trail derailment that happened, was it in Ohio, for instance? I mean, the left media barely would even touch that. They didn't want to talk about it. They moved on to something else. Whereas that was a big story for other Americans. So what becomes a story becomes different, which therefore means if we're not even following what each other's stories are, it also allows corruption to go rampant as if it wasn't already, but now the brakes are completely off because no side is watching the other. We don't even care to hear what the other side is doing. And so there is no check and balance amongst each other because we're all living in our own reality. So therefore, it's a train now where the brakes are off. It's like that train at the end of Back to the Future 3 when you got to go to 88 miles an hour and the red smoke comes out. That train's going off the cliff.
And your train doesn't really.
And yeah, and a great movie, by the way. And at that point, what I'm getting to is first, we all cared and we followed each other. Now we're at the point, the last 5-8 years, that depends on the person, we're not caring and we're not listening to each other. And these stories, when I bring up, Ernie says, I just don't care, it's all details and I'll quit it and blah, blah, blah. At some point, something's going to happen where it's going to force us all to care again. Something, I'm sure.
Food.
A flashpoint will happen.
Killing all the cows, taking the farmer's land.
All right. So, something. We don't know what it's going to be. It's like Peter Schiff talking about the economy. It's a balloon looking for a pin to pop it. What that pin will be, we may not know, but when it happens, it'll go. And of course, I think we all feel that. Now, will the Hunter Biden, this thing happening right now, be part of it? It could. The Trump thing, if he all of a sudden is disqualified for insurrection and all. Well, you know, it might be a joke to many of us. However, that literally could be a constitutional crisis issue.
Yeah, take it away, my choice.
So it's worth bringing up.
To not vote for him. I mean, you take away my choice to not vote for Trump, that'd be bad.
I just find the Hunter Biden thing, I'm just bringing it up because I did find it fascinating that that this is what the Biden administration attempted to do, and they got called out for it. The only reason that we're talking about it is that the judge actually read all of the details, which maybe they did not expect her to read all the details, and she found that. Like, deep within this was a rider from one plea deal affecting the other, which apparently, because I'm not an attorney, never happens. I mean, this is sort of like the Hail Mary pass of what the administration tried to do, which has never been seen. At least
I've seen them do this with legislation. The legislative council, even after they vote and on the floor and I amend and whatever, then they just go and write whatever the hell they want. To happen. I've seen it. Oh, that's why.
Well, but we're talking a court case. We're talking a specific case that everyone's watching.
Same thing.
They were so ballsy or desperate to put that in, and we would have expected a lot of judges probably would allow this to happen, either because they didn't read it or they would just wink for the administration. But the fact that she called it out, and then the plea deal all fell apart the last minute, because if he can't get that rider through, well, then he's not going to plead guilty to that charge. But what's more important is their tactic was exposed to both sides. And I think it might wake up even more people on the left to understand who these people are they're dealing with. Wishful thinking, but I think it might make some movement there. But it's interesting.
It reminded me what I was going to say. This is really, really apropos. You got to say something nice about the government. You know, they do something good, right? He was in marriage therapy. They were, going through a divorce, and she didn't want to get divorced. So they're going through marriage, couple therapy or whatever they're doing. And the therapist goes, now say something nice about your wife. Now she says something nice about him. I don't know. He's whatever. And they go to him and they say, now say something nice about your wife. And he goes, he thinks for a second. And he goes, well, she doesn't sweat much for a fat chick. And I go, whoa, I think it's over, man. So my thing is, that's how I feel about government. Well, our government doesn't, I don't know, I can't even say anything.
There's a T-shirt there, man. There's a T-shirt right there.
At least, what can I say nice about, the United States government? What, they don't kill enough people? They don't napalm enough people? They don't nuke enough people? They don't do experimental, not even told no fully informed consent of whatever the hell for decades they've done on everybody? Radiate entire communities, poison a bunch of black men, Tuskegee experiment, radiation therapy on entire towns, vaccine everybody, at least they don't. What? I mean, they do everything. I got nothing good to say other than maybe we need some sort of protection for individual rights that might be funded collectively of the sheriff of what maybe And I can't think of a single time and a single circumstances throughout history that the collective, that we created some entity to delegate our authority and our responsibility to somebody to protect or do something, to build a dam, to, you know, stop a marauding hordes across or something, that didn't turn bad. Every time. Every, let me think. There was that one time that, nope, there wasn't. Every time. So I, you can't get me to say, you know, government, it's just, well, yeah, and they sweat profusely anyway. I mean, I what am I going to say? You know, I have way too much experience in dealing with the courts. I've had over a dozen lawsuits. I've argued my own cases before the Ninth Circuit. I've three times in Arizona Supreme Court going, and it's, and the only reason it's therapy for me, the only reason that I, you know, don't, you know, blow my brains out or whatever, because I know it's corrupt from the beginning. My whole goal is to make them say it and to make them make me. Make me. And make them say it. Say it! You know, and we haven't got into the, you know, with the audience about my experience with the January 6th thing. You know, the FBI subpoenaed me. After a year, they were on my butt because I interviewed whatever. They wanted me to go testify. What they really wanted was me to certify one of the MP3s of a file that I did. They needed me to allow them to use it against someone. And but I was on it. I go, that's Fifth Amendment. I'm not going to serve myself up to you guys. And they go, oh, no, you have to because you have to because... You have to. Oh, we're going to subpoena, we'll subpoena me. Boom. Got a free flight to Washington, D.C. That just showed up and the court was closed. And I'm going, hey, where are you guys? Well, we're working on, you know, kind of. And then finally they go, well, are you still going to? Yes, I am. You got an attorney? Nope. Going to do it on the bench. Got to have the judge explain it to me. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to threaten me with jail for asserting my Fifth Amendment right. Let's play. Let's do it. I'll serve some time for that one. And they go.
And didn't, and Ernie, didn't they almost force you to have an attorney? They didn't even want you not to have an attorney.
No, yeah. They were getting, oh, you get a free attorney. Federal, we'll get you the best attorney. They go, woo. And I go, nope. Nope. I'm doing it. Because I had plenty of guys wanting to be my attorney. You know, I just like, nope. And all of them are saying I had to comply. I go, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because to have these young podcasters that will just, because I knew what they're going to do. They're going to threaten, force you to submit, you know, the MP3s or the files of your MP4s or the video. Because we do all our own stuff on decentralized. You can't delete it, censor it. So they had the file. They just needed me to certify it so they could use it as evidence. Against whom? Well, it could be against me. And they go, oh, no, you're not the one under investigation. Yeah, says you. Isn't there a Supreme Court decision that says you can lie to me? And I say, you're a lying sack of snot. I mean, I was nice to him, but I go, I'm not complying. I mean, they will subpoena. I go, good, bring it. So finally, I mean, this went on for months and months and months. And finally, every time they threatened me, I called the FBI travel agent and booked my flight.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.